Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You may be seated. I was telling the early service this morning that, I don't know if you call it irony or God's sense of humor or God's care. You even see that in the lectionary. My last service at St. John in Keystone, the reading was from Luke's Gospel, where Jesus told his disciples not to be anxious, not to worry. And as I was leaving them as a would-be a vacant congregation, as we were moving all of our stuff, that was good to hear. And now, here, my first Sunday as your pastor at St. John's, and Jesus is telling us to be humbled. I don't know what that means, but after serving this week and the drinking through the fire hose that is everything that goes along with that, a lot of humbleness is going on. So our Lord, though, speaks these words today. And he's right. I mean, he's Jesus, so of course he's right. Jesus said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, anytime we hear a phrase like that or anything in scriptures, we always need to ask that good Lutheran question. What does this mean? Was ist das? What is it? Well, it's not complicated. Scripture is clear. The posture in which God calls you to think, to speak, to act, and just flat out live your life is one of humility. So Jesus starts off then this reading with a warning about exalting yourself, ties that together at the end here as well, calling you to be humble. So Jesus calls you to repentance and faith. Now there are the Pharisees, though, at the beginning of this reading, aren't there? They're quite the opposite. Listen again to what the Holy Spirit inspired St. Luke to write. "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy." Now, did you catch that? What were the Pharisees doing? They were watching him carefully. Well, that sounds great, right? Shouldn't we be watching Jesus carefully? Shouldn't we be listening to him carefully? Well, yeah, you should be. But the hearts of these Pharisees sought to exalt themselves, as Jesus will teach us, and for Jesus to be put below them and be accused of all types of various things. Now, in the previous chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath, but the ruler of the synagogue was angry, or the ESV translates it, he was indignant with Jesus, because he, healed her on that day, which was to be set apart. So in the minds of the Jews, their righteousness was not just found in outwardly observing the law, but they even had those additional measures that we've heard of before, where they thought they were able to observe the law and be righteous in the sight of God by what they outwardly did. Now, remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy is godly, and it is commanded by God. But they didn't seek to sanctify or make it holy by the word of God in prayer, especially as the Word made flesh was standing right before them working miracles. No, they sought a righteousness and to exalt themselves on their own. But lest we forget, desiring righteousness is a good thing. Desiring righteousness, however, that finds confidence in yourself and your own works is sinful and mocks God. Martin Luther had a phrase called navel gazing. He used it in different contexts, but not looking at ships on the ocean, but your belly button. Our faith is to look outward. We don't look inward, because that's far from righteousness, really, as you can be. It's idolatrous, it's against the very essence of God's law and who he is. So here then, when Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, he knew the hearts of the Pharisees who were watching him carefully, not as men sitting at his feet like beloved disciples do, but instead as wolves, snakes, seeking to pounce, seeking to kill. And Luke recorded the answer of Jesus. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now, if we remember in Romans chapter 3, St. Paul wrote, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." So look at these Pharisees then, in this reading today, and learn from them. Learn what not to do. So Jesus shows us quite clearly that if you want to think highly of yourself, if you want to place your own confidence in your own thoughts, your own opinions, your own words, your own deeds, then be prepared for your mouth to be stopped. The Old Testament reading also illustrates this from Proverbs. "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be but lower in the presence of a noble." And that's what Jesus says as well when he told that parable of the wedding feast and saw the people take the place of honor as this was a fruit of their self-righteous hearts. "You don't exalt yourself, for you will be humbled. Go to a wedding and sit at the wedding party's table and be prepared to move in front of everyone watching you and to your shame as they all stare at you, hanging your head because you sat where you shouldn't be sitting." So the warning for all of us in this is that you would hear the word of the Lord and that you take heed lest you fall. So dear people of God, examine your lives according to God's commandments. Look at those and ask yourself questions like, what do I fear? What do I love? What do I trust? What do I care about when it comes to how I live in this world and what forms how I think and speak? Who or what defines what I think is good and worthy of conforming my life to? Do I think I'm entitled to the things of God? What do I trust in when I lay my head down at night or I think about my death? Where am I looking for comfort? Where am I looking for confidence? Where am I looking for certainty? So all of those things, when you go through the commandments, they show that you have indeed not fulfilled what God has required of you, both outwardly and inwardly. And what happens? Your mouth is stopped. You don't have an answer. And so God humbles you. And he says, repent. And yes, desire what is righteous and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the righteousness of men. Because you remember what Jesus said? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now in the antiphon for today, it says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your just decrees. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes." So as the baptized people of God, looking to God in humility is looking to God as one who cries out, "Lord, have mercy." Humbling yourself is turning from your sin and looking to Christ, because in him you know there's where your righteousness is found. I have a painting from the Wittenberg altar piece that my home congregation in Ohio, when I was ordained, gave to me, and I used to have it hanging up in my study. Now it's hanging up above our house, at least for now. We're still unpacking boxes. But it's Luther pointing, preaching, and what's in between the people? Christ crucified. Luther famously said, "There, Christ, there's my righteousness." That's the humility of faith. Because you know where your redemption is found. It's found in Christ. And how has God dealt with you then? According to his steadfast love. So the Lord who healed this man in the gospel reading is the same Lord who came down from heaven and did perfectly fulfill all of God's law, as he alone is righteous. He is the one in whom is found no deceit, yet was led as a lamb to a slaughter, to suffer in the place of the unrighteous. He is upon whom God's righteous anger is poured out and satisfied it by the shedding of his blood. He's the one who laid aside his glory, humbling himself, and was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He is the one who died. He is the one who was raised. And this Lord is your Lord. The Lord whose name is, the Lord is our righteousness. So Jesus is your Lord who humbled himself. And so you are exalted and baptized into his exalted name, which is above every name. So baptized into Christ, you are clothed with him, you're clothed with his righteousness. No longer then does God count your sin against you, but sees only the righteousness of Jesus. And that's quite something to think about as we consider all of this morning, and we take this to heart today. In your sin, you see that you're nothing. But in Christ, you have everything. Your sin is forgiven, you have eternal life. Your righteousness then, that's a real righteousness that avails before God. The righteousness of faith, which clings solely to Christ. So in humility, hear the word of the Lord and seek him. Cast your sin and care upon him, and he won't let you fall. He's called you, and as you sit here today waiting for him to return, you sit as those who know there is a word coming. The day is drawing near when Jesus will say to you as you stand before him, "Friend, move up higher." And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. That's what you have as the people of God, called out by name by the Holy Spirit, gathered around his holy word and sacraments. His promise is yours, and you fix your eyes on Christ crucified and risen as your hope. Your faith is founded on Jesus Christ, your God and Lord. And so you sit in humility now, but you have a future glory beyond compare. You are exalted in Christ now, and you will be exalted unto life everlasting. And you're unmoved as you stand on his sure word, where you place your confidence, where you place your hope, and you have the certainty that Jesus has done it, and it's all yours. And he promises that you a place of honor at the eternal wedding banquet on that day, on that final day when all sin, when all suffering, when all death comes to an end. And he comes to call you to that place, even as he has called you now to be at the feast of his supper, that place of honor where you eat and drink his own body and blood given and shed for you. And you walk by faith, hearing his word. So the day is coming then when your faith will come to an end, and you will walk alongside him face to face with all of God's saints, his called people. So until that day, Jesus tells us, whoever humbles himself will be exalted, and who exalts himself will be humbled. So thanks be to God for the one who humbled himself, the one who exalts you in Christ. Amen.